This is Victory House.
Evening, how has your day been? How was your day? We thank God for God. We thank Him for His presence in our midst. We thank Him for our lives. Father, we give you praise. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Today I know you know, and I believe you know I'm not preaching. Hallelujah. We are going to discuss and we are going to just share. There is a particular passage, a particular story in the Bible that blessed me that I just want to share with you. Father, we thank you. If you have your Bible, I would like you to please open it, because it's a long story and I want everybody to read so we can all see what we are talking about. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, from verse 5 to 23. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 23. Why does she want to read a very long story? So as to spend time or kill time. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a story that we all know. It's a story about Zachariah and Elizabeth, not your Elizabeth. The Bible says, and there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of the Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandment and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and he fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Verse 14. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." And it went on to describe what John would be. So I'll jump to verse 18. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said, 'I am Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of God, who was sent to speak to you and bring you these good tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.' And the people waited." So I'll jump to verse 23. "So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his own house." He departed to his own house. This is a man, if you need a title, is a God of miracle. Amen. That's what we are looking at this month. God of miracles. But in this story, I want us to point to some point that I and that has blessed my life and I'd like to share with you. Number one, God is the judge. The Bible says here that he and his wife, they were blameless. But you and I know, like we all say, nobody's perfect. But before God, the Bible says they were blameless. So it does not matter who is judging you. It does not matter what position you are. What matters is your heart towards God and what God sees in you. He is the judge of all. That's number one thing, and that has blessed my life. We are in a society and a situation and in circumstances at home. Sometimes people don't understand what you do, what you say. But if your heart is true and right with God, He is the judge of all. He is judge. And then it says here, and I'll quote what I wrote, because this is my own personal note. It says, God pays attention to us, our conduct. And it is He that can judge if you are blameless or if you are to blame. I don't care what judgment has been placed upon you, but by the power in the blood of Jesus, because the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of it by the blood of the Lamb are washed away tonight in the name of Jesus. And every consequence of judgment upon your life, we erase tonight in the name of Jesus. So that's number one. Number two, God is bigger than your problem. The Bible says in that story that we read, that these people, they served before the Lord, but they had no child. These people, they were serving, they were, you know, there is this thing that, oh, this is happening to you because you have sinned. You can be faithful and serve God and still have challenges. But I tell you what, no matter what, it does not matter what the challenge is. Your God is bigger than the challenge. Sometimes the challenge might not be from God, and it might be from God, because we have seen that in some situations, He will say, this is to the glory of God. This is to the glory of God. So God allows some things for His glory. But whatever it is that is a challenge, that looks like He's working against you, I have come to tell you tonight that Jehovah is bigger than this problem. Two problems they had. Zechariah was old and the wife was barren. I thought it was the same thing, but they are different. So you might be old and not barren. Barrenness means she cannot produce. So two things working against her. She was old, he was old, plus she was barren. But even in spite of that, she got delivery of a miracle. I am praying tonight, and I am telling you tonight that our God is bigger than your problem. But there are two things that we see in their lives that I want you to check your life as I'm checking my life. Two things about these people. Even though they had no child, you can imagine a priest in a church. How many children they have brought to the church for him to dedicate? How many people have come there to give testimonies and about children, or thanksgiving about children, and they are childless? But despite that, they were consistent in their service and consistent in the things of the Lord. Our challenges and our problems shouldn't debar us from serving God. It shouldn't debar us. It shouldn't be like a stumbling block for us to reaching our goals with God and for serving God. Verse 8, he said, with his problem, he kept serving. And he says that he kept serving in a division that was falling onto him. It says that, you know, this is what he was called to do. So my question to you and to myself tonight is, where are you serving? Is it in the place and in the position where God wants you to serve? Or you are just doing it because it is convenient? Our service, I believe you understand, it's not just in church. You have a service at home. You have a service in your community. You have a service amongst friends. How are you serving God with all that He has given unto you? Are you selfish with it? Is your life about yourself only? Amen. Where is He serving? It says, in order of his division. What is your own division? what is your own division. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we will find our purpose in life and we will walk in all that God wants us to walk in the name of Jesus. And I wrote there that God's expectations of us and his expectations is we are consistent and we are connected. We are consistent and we are connected. Sometimes I have seen in church whereby we work so hard and we lose our connection with God. It is not about the service. It is about the connection to the Father. How connected are you to heavens? And in this connection, how consistent are you towards this? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The fourth point that I saw in that is that God is a rewarder. And that is very comforting. I don't know about you. I have done so much in my life that I will be like, they should give me more for the work that I have put into this. But the Bible says that he is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. He's a rewarder. I might not reward you. The pastor might not reward you. Your parents might not reward you. But when you recognize that Jesus is your rewarder, he's the one you are serving, whatever it is, he's the one. You are doing it as unto the Lord. The Bible says that he and his wife were blameless. They were consistent. They were found in the place of service. And in due time, like the angel said to him, he said, this would happen in its time. Your time and my time, we will not miss in the name of Jesus. While he was there in his office, while he walks in his field, while he walked with the talent that God has given unto him, while he walked as a singer, I was surprised to see every, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. While you focus on Jesus, your reward would come. Your reward would show up. The Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. It is your position, it is my duty to be and to know that God is our rewarder. Another thing I saw here is regardless, and it doesn't matter what calendar or time you set, God will show up. God shows up for his own people. I've heard this, I think it was Pastor K said, Jehovah on time. It might not be your time. It might not be the time you think it will work, but he always shows up. God shows up. He showed up for these people, his people, and we are under another, we are under the dispensation of grace. He would show up for you. He would show up for you. He will show up for you. Jehovah will show up for you and I in the name of Jesus. Another thing, God is enough. Hallelujah. God is enough. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. When Zechariah saw the angel, the Bible said that he was troubled and fell. And that reminded me of that scripture in 2 Samuel. I think I have it. I'm not sure. Yeah, 24:14. David said, Lord, let me fall into your hands and not into the hands of a human being. If you would fall, wouldn't you rather fall in the hands of God? Be vulnerable with your father. He was a priest. He was in the office, but he was vulnerable enough to fall. Be vulnerable to fall into the hands of the Lord. He is able to sustain you. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how you are wounded. Tell him, let him know when you are weak. Amen. It's a season of Facebook. Everybody looks good and put together. But if you don't fall into the hands of human beings, but this God is big enough to sustain you. He's big enough to uphold you. He's big enough for all your problems and my problem put together. He is God. I will read that scripture. I think I have it. David said to God, I am in deep distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. And do not let me fall into the human hands. Another version, NIV, says, I am desperate. When you are desperate, who do you fall on? When you are in need, who do you call on? When you are in a trouble, who is your first contact? This God is the only one that cannot fail. He's the only one that is big enough. People will have problems. I can promise you heaven and earth. If God doesn't give me the grace to fulfill it, I will fail you. The harm of flesh will fail. But Jehovah does not fail. He is big enough. The Lord will sustain me. The Lord will sustain my lot. The Lord will sustain my children. He's big enough to sustain my career. He's big enough to sustain my destiny. He's big enough to sustain my life. I cannot fall into the hands of human beings. Even when I'm falling, he's picking me up. He's picking me up. He's picking me up. He's picking me up. Why? Because he's big enough to sustain. Hallelujah. The other thing I saw in that story, he hears us. Oh, he hears us. He hears us. I will tell you, sometimes when I'm speaking with my children, they say, Mommy, are you there? Because I'm distracted. But we have a Father who hears us. He hears us. His ears are not deafened that he cannot hear. The Bible says in verse 13 that the angel said to him, he said, fear not, thy prayer is heard. I have come to tell you this evening, I don't know what you are believing God for, but I have come to tell you that your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. Whatever it is you are asking and you are seeking God for, it is heard. It is heard. I want us to stress that point. It says your prayer, not your complaining. Not your whining, not your anxiety, not your worry, but your prayer. So what do you do in the place of prayer? What kind of prayer do you pray? What is prayer to you? How is your prayer life? Because it says here that your prayer is heard. I grew up in a church where all we did was serve. We did all day, night, we just served the Lord. And I remember how they would tell us that God sees what you are doing, and we would have problems. But we, instead of praying, we would serve. Yes, it's good to serve, but it's good to pray. Amen. It is also good to pray. In prayer, it is when we show God that, Lord, I am powerless. It is a place where we are humble before him. It is a place of communication with Father. It is a place where we get strengthened. It is a place where we get empowered. It is a place where God ministers back to us. Prayer is telling God that I depend on you. Prayer is a sign of humility. Prayer is exchange of weakness for strength. That's prayer. The angel said to him, said, fear not. Fear not. I want you to tell your neighbor and say, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Your prayer is heard unless you are not praying. If you are praying, it is heard. If you are telling it, he's hearing it. Your prayer is heard. Hallelujah to Jesus. He is the Almighty God. It is a blessing that we have a Father that hears. He is the master of the universe, the creator of every heaven and earth. And yet he has time for you. He has time to listen to me. And he hears my prayer. And he moves on my behalf. He deserves our glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. The other one is God will deliver. Are you ready to take delivery of God's promises? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? In verse 14, it says, thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. When you depend on God and you call upon his name and you are in tune with him, he will deliver. he will deliver. This guy, it shows how long he had waited for this John to come. I don't know what your own John is, but I believe in the supernatural power of God. His John was not an ordinary child. I don't know what your miracle is. I hope you are not asking God for the minimal. I hope you are asking him for the kind of miracle that many will rejoice on your behalf. He says, surely you will have joy, and surely you will have gladness. And that gets me thinking. So there are some things you can receive that won't bring you joy and gladness. But when it is from God, it is first of all pure. Hallelujah. And it brings joy. He says, he maketh rich and hath no sorrow to it. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. My life will not be ordinary. My life will not be ordinary. And I take delivery of everything that God has for me, because my God is big. My God is enough. Hallelujah. Zechariah, that's in verse 15 to 17, his miracle was loaded. Loaded. Don't limit God in your life. Don't be afraid to ask for big things. And he said to him, how shall it be? You see, he leveled his own problem. He brought God down to his level instead of him going up to God's level. He said, how can it be? But with man, this might be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want you to know that, sometimes as Christians, we get so familiar with God that we forget how powerful he is. And then we see him do things for other people, and we think he can't do it for us, because we have turned our own lives to ordinary. I want you to raise your hands towards heaven, that from tonight I live in the supernatural. My children live in the supernatural. Everything concerning me lives in the supernatural. In my career, I experience supernatural. In my life, in my marriage, over my destiny, supernatural. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because I serve a big God. I serve a supernatural God. My Father is not ordinary. He's not human. He is the Almighty God. I take delivery of everything he has for me and my life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And this is where I would kind of round up tonight. The Bible says the angel told him that, look, you will be mute until these things are fulfilled. As a priest, can you imagine a pastor that cannot speak? And the Bible told us in the beginning of the story that that's what he has called him to do, a priest. And he's taking away the tools that he's using in that office. And he's expecting that he would serve. How is that? And my conclusion that the Holy Spirit gave me is more interested in your sonship than your service. He is more interested in a relationship with you than your service. How can a priest that stand before the Lord, he goes into where other people don't have access to, but yet he's doubting God? You can serve God and you will be slipping away and you don't know. We can come to church all the time and show up for every service, but our relationship with him is onyoro. How do you? It's dissolving. Pastor, he is not here, so don't tell him. Hallelujah. Service does not equate to relationship with God. And he is more interested in your soul and in my soul than what we can give. There is a story in the Bible, Saul, that became the king. The Bible says that his father called him and said, I'm looking for some donkeys. Go search for them. The Bible says he and the servant, they went all around. And after they have traveled, he said to the servant, he said, let us go back home, Because then my father will not be worried about the donkeys anymore, but about us. That is the heart of our father. He's more interested in you than the flock. He said to him, he said, you will be mute. When you are mute, you are quiet. When you are mute, you can relax. When you are mute, so there should be a time where you will shut down everything just to be in his presence. And I like that verse in 23. He said, he went back to his own house. How often do you go back to your own house? Your own house, I'm not talking about the physical house. I'm talking about the presence of God. How often, how is that place called house when everything is shut down? When there is nothing and there is no, you don't need to sing, you don't need to preach, you don't need to pray, you don't need to do any service for God. What is that relationship, the state of it with God? Church is not enough. Services are not enough. Corporately, you know, Zacharias would go to the church, to the synagogue. He had the corporate gathering, but it became a time where he had to be separated because God was more interested in his life than his service. Hallelujah to Jesus. In the scripture, I think, let me see, I'm not sure. Jesus went to Peter's house when he healed the mother-in-law. Can we look for that scripture? I like to read. I think it's in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. He healed the mother-in-law. And the Bible says by evening time, the whole town gathered in front of Peter's house. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. And he spent the night in Peter's house. But the Bible says in the morning, while it was still dark, he slipped out. He sneaked out of the house away to pray. And that is Jesus. That, yes, I have spent. I need to refresh. God is more interested. To man, you are serving. To man, you show up in church. It might be enough. They might think that, oh, she's in Christ. She goes to church. But to him, it is that connection. To him, it is that relationship. And you see, when trouble comes, when issues of life shows up, it is your connection with him that will sustain you. You cannot reap where you have not sown. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 verse 35, that's the scripture, says, before daybreak the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, slipped out into solitary place. What? To pray. To pray. He didn't wait for Peter. Amen. How much of ourselves have you put into service? Maybe church service, family service, career service, in ministry, that make the father so worried that you haven't come back home lately. You haven't come back to refresh, even to give report. Even to give report. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. And I saw in that story about Jesus, you spending time and growing in God, it is intentional. It is not an accident. You have to be deliberate that I have to grow in him, that I may know him, that I have to have this connection with him, that I need this access to him. Because at the end of it all, everything that we have and we are, one day it will come to an end. And we will stand before him. Hallelujah. So how can I live a life without my source? One day I was charging my phone. I plugged it in to charge it overnight, only for me to wake up in the morning and found out that, yes, it's plugged into my phone, but not into the source. And so it was still empty. But anybody looking at it will say, oh, the cable is connected. Is that our life with God? We look put together. We look like we are in Him. We do everything. We do video. We sing. But what is our connection with the Almighty? He is more interested in your sonship than in your service. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So finally, I wrote here, I said, how much does God see you? How much does God see you in a solitary place? A place alone in His presence. Service is correct. Consistency in service is great. But in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasured forevermore. We want our miracle. We know He's the judge of all. We know He's bigger than our problems. We know that He's the rewarder. We know that He will show up. But what makes us qualify for all of this is our relationship with Him. Shall we rise to our feet as we pray this evening?